Amen. Go ahead and be seated tonight and find Psalm 89. I'll let you remain seated as we get started. We'll get started differently, a little differently this evening. Give you the thoughts the Lord has laid on our heart for you in our study through the book of Psalms. We've made our way to Psalm 89, and it's a long psalm. In fact, if my study's right, it's the third longest of all the psalms. And Psalm 119, of course, would be the longest. And then I believe it's Psalm 77, maybe 78, I think it is. And then Psalm 89 that we want to look at tonight. And I'm going to preach all 52 verses if God will help me this evening. But don't get nervous. All right, we're going to take a very broad look at this psalm if the Lord will help us be able to do so. I want to kind of give you a little bit of a background. And really, we'll mainly preach from verses 1 down through maybe around verse 18. And so we want to kind of pick up here in just a minute in verse number 19, and we'll work our way through the end of the psalm, and then we'll do our preaching from the front of it. That sound good? Amen. Am I going to do it whether you like it or not? All right? Psalm 89 this evening. Ain't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. This psalm, as we have studied it, if you'll look briefly here in the heading of this psalm, it begins and titles this psalm as a Maskil of Ethan the Ezrahite. And I hope that you remember what that Hebrew word Maskil means. Does anybody want to take a stab at it? Amen. Don't embarrass me. All right. Instruction. There are 13 Maskil psalms, and this is the 12th of the 13 that we have as preserved to us. And so this is a psalm of instruction, and in the heading it tells us who has penned and humanly authored this is a man by the name of Ethan the Ezrahite. This psalm having been written by Ethan the Ezrahite, I will tell you this, that this man Ethan is likely also known as the man Jeduthun. Jeduthun was one of those three main worship leaders established in Jerusalem who served and was instituted into public worship in the days of David and then served in the days of Solomon. And Jeduthun, we believe, as well as Asaph and Heman, served on into the days of Rehoboam. And so this is Jeduthun who has penned this. And you can read, and I believe I can back up that this Ethan is the same as Jeduthun. And I'll not take the time to do it. You can study it out for yourself. If you're writing notes, 1 Kings 4:31 and 1 Chronicles 15:19. And if you'll run some other references off those texts, you'll find that this is the man Jeduthun that has penned this. This psalm in my study, I believe, has been penned in the older and latter days of Jeduthun or Ethan the Ezrahite. And these would be, I believe, in the days, likely penned in the days of Rehoboam. And I believe we'll see that tonight as we go through the psalm. I'll reference some things that I think will make that clear to you as we study through this psalm. In the days of Rehoboam, there had been, when Solomon died, a dividing of the kingdom. We understand that in those days, when Rehoboam came on the scene and assumed the kingship there on the hills of Solomon, that the people came to him and they began to speak about the taxation that Solomon had them under. And they came and they pleaded to Rehoboam, saying, "Would you lighten the load on us a little bit?" And you remember, I don't know if you remember or not, I believe you'll read about it in 1 Kings, I believe maybe it's chapter number 12, and or maybe 11 there, and you'll find there that he appealed to the old men, and he sat down with the old ancients there, which likely would have included men like Asaph and men like Heman and men who like penned this psalm, the man Jeduthun. And he counseled with the old men that had governed there during the days of Solomon. And he asked them what that he should do. And they gave him counsel and said, you ought to listen to the people and lighten their load. And if you do that, the people will follow you and they'll be endeared to your heart. But sadly, Rehoboam, the Bible said, rejected the counsel of the ancient men and the older men. And he began to seek the counsel of a new age crowd and a younger crowd. And those men gave Rehoboam the exact opposite counsel that the old men gave. And they said, what you need to do is not lighten the load and not even leave it the same, but raise their taxes and take more from the people and make it harder on them. And Rehoboam heeded their counsel. He stood and he proclaimed that. And he said, you think my daddy Solomon made it hard on you? He said, I'm going to whip you with scorpions and you ain't seen anything yet. And that divided the kingdom, and they rebelled against Rehoboam. And a man by the name of Jeroboam took the northern half of the kingdom of Israel, leaving Rehoboam with the southern part. He reigned there over the land of Judah in the city of Jerusalem. And all this is important, so hang with me. I'll preach in a minute if the Lord will be our helper. And so Rehoboam begins to strengthen himself in his kingdom. And he's doing pretty well starting out. It seems like the Lord is going to bless his kingdom in spite of some very foolish decisions that he made there early on. And now when we come to Psalm 89, what you'll find is that this psalm, in regard to that time period and that background, this psalm is known to you and I as the Covenant Psalm. The Covenant Psalm, and as it deals with what we know is the Davidic covenant that the Lord had made with King David and his seed that would follow him. You see, Rehoboam is the son of Solomon, the grandson of King David. And in this psalm, what Jeduthun, Ethan the Ezrahite, is going to do is began to deal with that Davidic covenant. He's going to proclaim some things about it and about what God had promised to David and to David's seed. Now, when we think about this, what the themes are that arise, in fact, look there in verse number 3, where Jeduthun, speaking as though he were the voice of God, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And so I think maybe them two verses clarify the Davidic covenant that God promised not only to David personally, but to David perpetually, that he would bless his kingdom forever and forever. And we understand the history, amen, from that covenant being made and all the things that happened. But I will tell you this, he is going to fulfill that covenant through the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And Jesus will be the one who sits upon the throne of David as he were the son of David and rule and reign forever and ever. And of his kingdom, the Bible said, and there shall be no end. And so the Davidic covenant is still in place. It will be fulfilled. And some would say that's been done away with a long time ago, but they don't understand Bible prophecy. And they do not understand the character of God, as he's going to make mention of in this very psalm. Amen. He was not lying to David, and he is not going to alter his covenant with this man David, the chosen of the Lord. And so it is the covenant psalm that takes upon it the themes of God's mercy and God's faithfulness. Look with me in verse 1. I know I said we'd start in verse 19. We'll get there. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. And what you've got to understand about Psalm 89, and it's important for where we're going to end up, is that this psalm is magnifying that God is a God of mercy, and that no matter what happens in the realm of man, God is absolutely faithful to those that are His people. Now, I don't know if that helps you tonight just to think about that. Amen. But I want to say tonight, we ought to say, I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever. And with our mouth, we ought to testify of God's faithfulness, amen, in our life and in our affairs. And so throughout this psalm, what you're going to find is that mercy and faithfulness of God are something that Jeduthun continually comes back to. And I would add here just as an appetizer, and we'll see it, that even though men may not be faithful to God, God will be faithful to men. Amen. Even though men may abuse the mercy of God, amen, God's mercy still endures. And we're thankful for that. That don't mean men get by with sin. In fact, we'll see that in a moment. It doesn't mean that, my friend, you can do whatever you want and God is obligated to be good to you and I. Amen. But what it means is that God deals with us, amen, in mercy and in His own faithfulness. Now, we come to verse number 19. And real quickly, I want to run through with you verse 19 through 51 and show you here how Jeduthun speaks, recalling the relationship of the Lord to David and to his seed. And I believe there's some likenesses, and I understand the Davidic covenant is not necessarily to you and I, amen, as it relates to Israel. But I believe there are some parallels in the grace of God and the mercy of God and the faithfulness of God that we can rejoice in tonight, in a God that does not change. And so I would say, number one, in verses 19 through 23, that David and his seed were chosen by the Lord. They were chosen by the Lord. Verse number 19 said, "Then thou spakest in vision to the Holy One, to thy Holy One, and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him." I like verse 22, "The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him." I believe when we think about David, we understand that there was a time in David's life where in the eyes of men and in the eyes of himself and even in the eyes of his family, that David was a nobody. Amen. He's just some little old boy on the backside of nowhere doing a menial task. Amen. But God found David. Amen. We understand that in the days of Saul, God had prophesied through the prophet, amen, that God had found a man after his own heart. Amen. And that was speaking of David. That was speaking of that one that everybody seen. Amen. To be a lowly shepherd boy. Somebody wrote a song several years back. Amen. That when others see a shepherd boy, God sees a king. Amen. And I believe there's some parallels there. A lot of ways we could parallel that. Amen. But what I would say tonight, amen, there was a day that God found David. And I want to say tonight, there was a day that God found you and God found me. Amen. And we didn't look like much to this old world, and we maybe didn't feel like we was much even in our own eyes. Amen. But I'm glad God found me, and I'm glad God called me, and I'm glad God chose me, and I'm glad, amen, He put the oil of the Holy Ghost on the inside when He saved me. Amen. And I'm glad, thank God, He delivered me out of the hand of my enemy, and that the son of wickedness, the old devil, cannot afflict me anymore. And thank God I'm glad. Thank God that He chose me one day. Amen. I don't mean that the way the Calvinists would mean that tonight. Amen. But I'm glad there's a day in my life. Amen. That God found me and God chose me unto Himself. Amen. That didn't mean I didn't have a choice in it. I did. Amen. Amen. I chose Him and He chose me. And the result of it is, amen, the grace of God is established in our life. And the powers of darkness and their forces, thank God, have been broken. And they're broken because God, amen, chose us one day. Amen. And so David and his seed were chosen by the Lord. Number two, in verses number 24 through 29, I see that David and his seed were cared for by the Lord. Amen. Not only were they chosen by the Lord, but he said in verse number 24, but my faithfulness and my mercy, there it is again, shall be with him. And in my name shall his horn, that is his power, his authority, his position, and his crown, amen, be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy, there it is again, will keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. And so simply put, what the Lord is saying in my relationship, my covenant relationship with David and his seed, is that I am going to care for them. I'm glad since I've been saved, I ain't been having to care for myself. Amen. Now we got to work and we got to make our way through life. Don't mean, amen, some people think this, amen, that when you get saved, that means you can be a lazy, deadbeat, amen, couch bum, amen, and live off the church and live off the government. Amen. And if you got needs, amen, I thank God, amen, for the charity of God's people. And amen, and the help that we can find along the way. Amen. But I want to say we ought to work, and we've been called on to work. And the New Testament said, amen, if a man won't work, that man ought not to eat. Amen. And he ought not expect nobody else put the bill for his life. Amen. If he ain't going to work his way. Amen. But I'm glad even though we work, I'm glad there's a God in glory. Amen. That we know is looking after us and caring for us along the way. Amen. It is by his faithfulness and his mercy, amen, that we make our way through life. We'd have nothing and we'd be nothing if God didn't care for us. Amen. You take God out of David's life. You take God out of the seed of David's life. Amen. And they just a bunch of, amen, hillbillies on the bank side of Israel. Amen. With no hope at all. But you know what God said? Amen. God said, I chose them. And I tell you what else, amen, I'll do for those that I choose. I'll care for them along the way. And so we understand God was good to David. Amen. God gave him houses and God, amen, God, my friend, gave him a throne and God gave him a kingdom and God gave him a crown and God gave him wealth. Amen. David, amen, we're a one woman. Amen. One wife kind of doctrine around here, but amen. And I let you take it up with God, but God even said to David, amen, I gave you your wives and your children. And I don't understand all that. And that's what God said over there when, amen, Nathan went and confronted David about his sin. Amen. And all that simply means is that, amen, God had been good to David. There wasn't really anything David desired. Amen. That God had not blessed and cared for David in David's life. And I'm glad tonight God's caring for you and me. And God, amen, amen, He gives us what we need day by day, our daily bread. And thank God sometimes along the way a few things we desire to enjoy this life in. And I understand tonight in my life God's been good to me. Amen. If I don't get off this point, I'll preach all night. Amen. I'm glad along the way God has met my needs. Amen. By the world standards, I ain't got a lot, but by the world standards, I ought not even have what I do have. And all I can say is God has, amen, been good to me and caring for me along the way. Amen. I got family and friends, and I even got a little bit of money in the bank tonight. Ain't always been that way. Amen. By the time the bills roll around the next few weeks, it probably won't be that way no more. But, amen, I'm glad this evening God's been caring for my life. Amen. And on top of all that, you take all the physical things and the earthly things away. There's some spiritual care for us. Amen. Some spiritual blessings tonight that money can't buy. Amen. Things you can't see with the eye and things you can't touch. And things tonight that, my friend, are wrapped up in the, amen, in the kingdom of God. Amen. That peace and joy. Amen. That grace and that love and that hope. Amen. I'm glad tonight you say, what are you saying tonight? Amen. I hope I ain't trying to say. I hope I'm saying it clear. Amen. That when it comes to God, amen, in His relationship to His people, it is our God that is caring for you and I. Amen. I like what, can I just preach a minute out of verse 26? I know I said I wouldn't get bogged down in all this, but amen, I can tell already, Brother Black, we ain't going to get by this in one service either. Amen. But here's what he said David was going to do. He said, he shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Amen. You know what he's saying there? There's going to be days. Amen. David's going to need somebody. It's going to be days. David's going to look around and it ain't going to look like anybody's around. Amen. But in those days, David's going to be able to drop down on his knees. Amen. And cry aloud and say, Father. Amen. Kind of like what Jesus said we could do. Amen. When you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. Ain't you glad tonight we got a Father caring for our needs? Amen. Hallelujah. I wasn't expecting to get bogged down right here, Brother Mark, but amen, I feel good about it right here that Jesus said, amen, you've had fathers who were evil, led, and fathers who were of a carnal nature, that when you'd go to them and ask them for bread, they wouldn't give you a stone. Amen. And if you asked them an egg, they wouldn't give you a scorpion. Amen. They looked after your needs and they made sure, amen, you was cared for from day to day. And then Jesus made this statement, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven, amen, give you those things that you have need of. Ain't you glad tonight we got a heavenly Father? Amen. Ain't you glad tonight we can go and cry, amen, not only to our Father but to our God? Amen. I like what Peter said over there in the New Testament. Amen. About our God, Brother A.L., he said, amen, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you saying tonight? Amen. I'm saying our God's the one who cares for us. Amen. He cares about you and He's meeting your needs. Amen. You may be mounted up with all sorts of trouble. Amen. You may be carrying it around and don't know what to do with it. And I remind you tonight, you can cast it on Him. Amen. You can take all your cares, all your battles and all your hurts and pains, all your spiritual bumps and bruises, amen, all your faults and all your failures, and Brother Tim, we can cast Him upon our God. Amen. Because Peter said, I tell you this much about your God, He cares for you. I don't know if that's helping anybody else here tonight. Amen. But he said he would cry and shall, and he shall cry unto me, thou art my father. Amen. Ain't you glad he's her father? Amen. My God, I'm glad he's my God tonight. And then he said, and the rock of my salvation. Amen. He's the ground upon which David's going to stand. Amen. David's going to understand throughout his life. Amen. There may be times he weeps his way through trouble. Amen. But in the midst of his trouble, when everything around it, amen, would seem to be sinking sand, and it seemed like David's walking through the mire and marred up with the things and cares in this life, amen, he's going to have a peace in his heart. And God is going to remind him that God is the rock of his salvation. Amen. I'm glad in all this mess we're walking in. Amen. In 2020 and 2021, I'm glad, thank God, there's been some solid ground. I'm glad there's been a rock to stand upon. Amen. This whole world's been sinking politically and sinking emotionally. Amen. I heard a statistic this week. Amen. On a radio broadcast, I was talking about the young people in this generation. And in the last year, Brother Gerald, they're more depressed than they've ever been. They're more hopeless than they've ever been. My friend, the statistics say, I'm talking about my friend, junior high and high school age children. My friend, feel absolutely hopeless in this world. They have heard everything that's going on, and they're watching everything that's going on, and they don't want to go to school, but they don't want to stay home. Brother Mike, they don't know what to do, and they're facing a culture that, my friend, there is, amen, much to swallow them up and sinking in despair. Amen. But I'm glad, hey, you young people listening, amen, this thing of a relationship with God is real, and he cares for you, and he loves you. Amen. And if you're saved, he's the rock upon which you can stand. Amen. It doesn't matter how bad it's been or how bad it's going to be. I'm glad that I'm saved, and I know that the rock of my salvation is the one that is caring for me. Amen. Amen. David and his seed, they were chosen by the Lord. And thank God they were cared for by the Lord. I believe, amen, we could preach there all night long. Amen. His mercy and his faithfulness. Amen. Listen, this thing ain't just, amen, ain't just about David. He said, all them come after David. Amen. He said, I'm going to be good to them too. Amen. You know God was good to David. Amen. But if you'll be honest about it tonight, you'd have to say, hey, God's been good to you tonight. Amen. God's been caring for you. Amen. Oh, that don't mean we ain't going to have some needs along the way. Amen. It just means we know the one. Amen. Who's got us through safe thus far. Amen. And I believe, as the old Amazing Grace would say, amen, 'tis grace will lead us safely home. Amen. We have a God that is caring for you and for me. And so we find that they were chosen and they were cared for by the Lord. Let me say number three. Amen. David and his seed were cautioned by the Lord. Watch this. Amen. His seed, verse number 30. The Bible said, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with the stripes. In other words, Brother Joe, Jeduthun says in speaking this covenant that God has made with David, and the Lord has sent us a caution, and he is the one that has chosen us.
He is the one that has cared for us. Our responsibility in this relationship is to honor God and to honor His Word. We're to live in it. We're to love it. We are to lift it high in our life and to praise those, amen, those truths and commandments. And my friend, we're not to, amen, engage in things that would transgress what we know to be right. And the Lord said unto these that He has chosen and these that He has cared for in the day in which you should, amen, violate what I have told you to live in. Amen. He said, I am going to visit you, but, amen, I am going to whip you. I'm going to bring the rod and I'm going to inflict stripes upon you for your transgression and your iniquity. Amen. I believe what the Lord is saying tonight, if we could paraphrase it. Amen. And don't worry, we ain't going to get done, Lucas. So just breathe and enjoy it and I'll be done. Amen. I'll be done when I get done. Okay? Amen. But I think what the Lord is saying, Miss Kelsey, is simply this. Amen. Don't think just because I chose you and I'm caring for you that I won't beat the ever-loving daylights out of you if you get crossed up in sin. We've got a generation on our hands tonight that, my friend, would seem to think that I'm saved and God has been good to me and God is merciful and God is faithful and God is gracious. Therefore, I can do anything I want to do. And it doesn't matter. I'll live my own life. And as long as I ain't hurting anybody else, and that's all right. Amen. But listen, God's people are cautioned tonight across every dispensation of time. And God does not wink at sin. And God does not overlook sin, especially in His people. And we have been saved. We've been chosen. We've been cared for. Amen. That ought to motivate you and I to live a life where we honor God and His Word. Amen. Ain't that good preaching? I'm glad the Lord has sent a caution. I'm glad the Lord has warned us about that. Ain't you? Amen. This kind of preaching folk go sucking their thumb on. But I'm telling you, amen, it is the mercy and faithfulness of God that it would send us a caution before we ever wind up in trouble. That Brother Riley, we would understand that God has already set the terms. He spelled it out. And the only thing He wants from you and I is to give reverence and honor and faithfulness back to Him. Amen. David and his seed were chosen and cared for and cautioned by the Lord. Let me say number four. And David and his seed were comforted by the Lord. And the Lord has just said, I'm the one that chose you. I'm the one that cared for you. Now make sure you honor me, because if you don't, I'm cautioning you. I'll break out the rod and give you a whipping. But then the Lord said, I love this in verse 33. Nevertheless, amen, if you do wrong and I gotta whip you, amen, I'm thankful there's a nevertheless. I'm thankful tonight. Amen. He said, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him. Amen. Oh yeah, I'll whip him, but I'm whipping him because I love him. Amen. I'm chastening them because I am compassionate toward them. I'll not utterly take that my loving kindness from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail while I'm whipping them. Amen. I'll not forget I'm their father. I'll not forget I'm their God. And I'll not forget I'm the rock of their salvation. Amen. Will I whip them? You better believe I will. Amen. But nevertheless, let me comfort them. So while I'm whipping them, they know that this is but for a moment. This is but for their correction. This is but for their good. And God is comforting them, saying, my covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne is his son before me. and it shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah. Think about that a little while. Amen. Ain't you glad tonight? Now, here's what the Lord said in that covenant. He said, if his children forsake my law, and if they break my statute, you really know what the truth of the matter is. Amen. And I'm not trying to correct the Word of God. I know it's true about my own life. Amen. And you can evaluate your own, but I think we all know that we stand on the same ground. And it ain't a matter of if. Amen. It usually is a matter of when. Amen. And I'm not giving us license tonight. Amen. But I tell you what I'm thankful for. Amen. That when we sin and if we sin, amen, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And when God ought to take us bunch of Gentiles that He chose, and He didn't have to choose, but He did choose it. Amen. That He's been caring for and that He already cautioned us. And when we step across that line knowing what we're doing, amen, I'm glad in Christ there's some comfort. I'm glad in our advocate tonight there's some comfort. And if we'll repent of that sin, amen, friend, confess that sin, amen, the Lord said He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. I find comfort in that tonight. I don't find a license to lasciviousness. Amen. I find the comfort. Amen. I know me and I know. Amen. How the songwriter put it. Amen. How prone we are to wander. Amen. How prone we are to get sideways. I'm not talking about living in immorality. I'm not talking about living in full blown. Are y'all listening? Amen. Things that the Bible says. Amen. If you're saved, you really, really, really. Amen. If you live in, better check up whether or not you've ever been saved. Amen. I'm just talking about getting a cold heart. I'm talking about my friend getting bitter. I'm talking about being unforgiving. I'm talking about living a life, amen, where somehow, some way on the inside, we begin to stray from God. I'm glad tonight, Brother Jerry, there is comfort that we can understand that the covenant God has made with you and I in the new covenant, it is not, amen, in me and my ability, amen, but it's in Christ, the Son of God, amen, who loved us and gave Himself for you and I. And thank God there is comfort, amen, that when we falter and fail, amen, we don't lose our salvation. We don't lose our covenant. We don't lose our standing we have before the Father. Amen. But nevertheless, amen, you say, preacher, I failed. And preacher, the Lord has had to whip me. Amen. Nevertheless tonight, amen, nevertheless tonight, amen, you're still one of His children. And He still loves you as much as He's ever loved you. And the fact that He whipped you proved that. And the fact that He hadn't taken away His covenant proves that. And the fact you're still saved proves that. Ain't you glad tonight for the comfort that God gives to you and I in these times? Amen. And so we see they're chosen by the Lord. They're cared for by the Lord. They're cautioned by the Lord. And they're comforted by the Lord. Let me give you number 5, and we'll get to all the way to verse 51. And I'll just barely give you my thought. And I'll try to end it, amen, somewhere where we can pick back up next Wednesday. I really tried, Riley. I promise I'm trying to do the best I can to get done with it. Amen. Notice David and his seed in verse 38 through 51. They are chastened by the Lord. Now, Jeduthun begins to speak, Brother Tim, about, he's just given this covenant, and now he says, basically in verse 39 down, or 38 down through verse number 51, God's had to come whip on us. Amen. Y'all hang with me. I promise you to be positive if you'll hang with me. Amen. Verse number 38, but thou hast cast off and abhorred. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. You see, this is how Jeduthun feels right now. Amen. And I'm going to show you in a minute. Amen. It's sin. Rehoboam had sinned. And the people had sinned. And you know what sin and chastisement does? It makes you feel like, amen, you're way over here and God's way over there and God ain't going to have nothing to do with you no more. That's where you feel like. That's why we preach so hard against sin. Amen. I'd rather preach or make me feel bad preaching on sin, amen, than to be some little puppet on a string, wouldn't say nothing about it, and then I got to go feel the effects of sin in my life. Amen. Listen, sin will leave you feeling way, way over yonder in God, way, way over there, and you'll be saying, amen, he ain't going to have nothing more to do with me. It's all broke now. That's how he feels. Why? Because sin has crept in, and God is chasing them because of their sin. He said, thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that passed by the way spoiled him is reproach to his neighbor. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of his sword and hast not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame, Selah. How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like a fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy wrath? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Sad verses, ain't it? This is a man who is looking around and he sees that the glory that he's seen in the days of David, the things and the touch of God and the fulfillment before his very eyes of that Davidic covenant of God having chose David and his seed and caring for David and his seed. He has seen that through the days of David and Solomon. He's seen it in the beginning, even the failures, some of the early failures in the days of Rehoboam. What you'll find when you begin to study the days of Rehoboam is that there was a day that Rehoboam, the Bible said, and he had strengthened himself to the point and he felt like he did not need any help. He felt like he didn't need God anymore. And he felt like, Brother Larry, he had everything by the reins and now he's going to do it his own way. Amen. Let me read you a verse here. Amen. Let me read you a verse here in 2 Chronicles chapter 12. 2 Chronicles 12 and in verse number 1, and it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself. Listen now, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. Is that not what God said in Psalm 89 they were not to do? Is that not what God had gave the caution and said if they forsook the Lord, if they broke His statutes, if they forsook His ways, and God was going to chasten them? Amen. That's exactly what God said He was going to do. And so here's a man who is of that chosen people. Here's a man who has been cared for of that cared for people. Here's a young man who is of that caution people. And my friend now has broken and now has forsaken the law of the Lord. And he not only forsook it, he drug some other people with him. Amen. All Israel with him. And it came to pass, verse 2, that in the fifth year of the king, Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, Modishat, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. Amen. Why? Because they had transgressed against the Lord. Verse 3 tells you how large of a crowd came from Egypt. And verse 4 tells you what they done. And he that is Shishak, amen, took the fenced cities which pertained to Judah and came to Jerusalem. And so here comes Egypt and their army and their king. And they are ransacking the land of Judah. Why? Amen. God had put it in their heart. And God had sent the enemy against him as a means of chastisement against those who were chosen and cared for and cautioned and comforted. Now God is going to chasten them. You'll read in 1 Kings 14, a parallel text, verse 22, 3 and 4, that it lays out what had taken place. And Brother Mike, what this forsaking of the law of the Lord looked like. At my friend, they had built high places and groves, and they still had Jerusalem. Jeroboam ran the Levites out of Israel and began to build altars and golden calves. And 2 Chronicles 11 says plainly that they began to worship devils. When you look at what Jeroboam did and Rehoboam did, it looks like Jeroboam's in a greater transgression. Amen. And sometimes we'll think in our relationship with God that what I'm doing ain't as bad as what so-and-so's doing. And it looks like they're getting by, so I'll get by. My friend, when it comes to this doctrine of chastisement, amen, God deals with us in very personal ways. Amen. And you better not ever measure yourself to somebody else. Amen. You better measure yourself, amen, to the stewardship that God has given you. Amen. Amen. I may look at Gerald tonight and go, man, he's an egg-sucking dog. I'm better than him. It may look like Gerald's getting by. If I ain't careful, I'll think, well, I can stay on this side. And then when God whips Gerald, then I'll start straightening up. That ain't how it worked. Come on now. That ain't how it worked. And I know it's Wednesday night. I don't mean to punch you in the throat. Amen. I'm trying to get the good stuff. Amen. About this thing of chastisement, let me say that it is always, chastisement is always the result of sin in our life. Now I had a good earthly daddy, and I'm thankful for my raising. But if I'd be honest about my daddy and if I'd be honest about my own parenting, he's probably sometimes my daddy, in fact, I know my daddy chasing me sometimes when I didn't deserve it. Amen. My brother done it and I got whipped for it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Amen. But can I say my heavenly Father, he don't make a mistake. Amen. I can say this about my heavenly Father. I ain't ever been whipped by Him that I did not deserve it. It's always been the result of sin and the need for correction in my life. So I don't know nothing about that. Well, your problem ain't this. Your problem is you need to get born again. Because the Bible said if you're without this, if you're without this, then are you bastards and not sons? You see, chastisement is not only the result of sin, But chastisement deals with the relationship of sonship. The relation of sonship that, my friend, we belong to the Lord. Again, we're that chosen and cared for. Amen. We're not without knowledge. We're not without warning. We know how we're to live. And when we violate those things, it is a relation of sonship that we have to God. And He says, I will chasten you. Notice that chastisement. I love this. Now I'm almost done. I'm almost to the point. I preached all this time to get to this. Amen. After this point will be the point I really want to make. But chastisement. In chastisement, you'll always find that God deals rebuke and chastisement through God's man. When there is sin, God sends a man of God to call it out and deal with it. Always. You can't show me one place in the Word of God where God, when David sinned, He sent a man of God to the king and called it out. When Saul sinned, He sent a man of God to rebuke him and chasten him and call it out. Amen. You say, did God do that in the days of Rehoboam? Watch it, verse number 5. Then came 2 Chronicles 12:5. Then came Shemaiah the prophet to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because Shishak, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, ye have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. And I just go on record tonight and say hallelujah for men of God. Amen. That have the mind of God and the heart of God and the touch of God and the call of God upon their life. Amen. To call out sin and to deal with it and reflect that and show how it ought to be dealt with. Amen. Whereupon the princes of Israel... Here it is, verse 6. This is as far as we're going to go. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves. They didn't say, oh, Shammai, he just is so old-fashioned. We ain't under the judgment of God. That ain't what they said. They humbled themselves. They said four words, testified four words. The Lord is righteous. In other words, God in mercy, God in faithfulness, sent His word through His man and shed light on what the problem was. The man of God called it out. The man of God, my friend, really in giving this, is calling them to repentance. He is calling them... And friend, to humble down, and humble down they did. And when they heard it, they respond in a right way. Simply say, we ain't fighting with the man of God. We ain't going to keep going and forsaking God and wind up in greater trouble. We deserve exactly what we're getting, and the Lord is righteous. Amen. Keep that in mind and go back to our psalm. Do y'all understand? I'm almost done. I know I've been saying that. I'm almost done. I'm trying. It's too much here. Watch this now. Verse 38 through 51. We all understand this is a man looking at God's hand of chastisement coming down on them and going, Lord, 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 we can't take any more. Look how this psalm ends. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. In other words, the Lord is righteous. Where we are, we do not like it and we don't see how we can take any more. But the Lord is still blessed. The Lord is still righteous. This is not evil. This is not the Lord doing us evil. This is the Lord exacting upon us exactly what He said in His covenant that He would do. And so blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. Let it be so. Let it be so. We are not going to fight against the chastening hand of God. We're not going to try to justify ourselves and try to get out of the judgment that has come upon us. I'd rather they humble themselves, and the only person and the only people that, my friend, are going to bless the Lord forever and are going to say amen and amen to chastisement are going to be those who are humble enough. I realize, my friend, they're the one who messed up. And my friend, God is not the one that messed up. And they're the one who did evil. God is not the one who's done them evil. And they're the one that walked away. It ain't God who walked away. And they're the one who made the choice. God didn't make the choice. And in the midst of realizing through the preaching of the Word of God, amen, that they forsook God, and that God has sent the enemy upon them because of what they've done. They said, Lord is righteous. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. And if I had time tonight, I'd finish, amen, preaching this psalm. Here's my thought. Amen. Blessing the Lord from the woodshed. Blessing the Lord from the woodshed. Amen. Amen. And that woodshed, Brother Gerald, you're old enough, amen, to know when we say the woodshed, that, amen, nothing good happened out at the woodshed. Amen. Amen. Is either splitting wood or, amen, burning hind ends. Amen. And nothing good happened out at the woodshed. Amen. The woodshed speaks of chastisement. It speaks of discipline. Amen. Can I say, amen, that Rehoboam and those people, especially Rehoboam, had been taught by his father, I've got to quit. I've got to stop right here. That ain't what Solomon taught him. Amen. I've got to stop. Amen. Listen to this. Proverbs 3 and verses number 11 and 12. Here's what Solomon said. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. Amen. And so when Rehoboam got sideways, amen, he had been taught better than that, but he done it anyway, just like you and I do. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what we better be careful of. Amen. Is when God is chastening us. Amen. Don't be weary under that hand of correction. Amen. Just begin to bless the Lord. Amen. Just humble down and say, Lord, I'm wrong and You're right. And amen and amen, and let it be so. And Lord, I don't know if I can take any more, but I'm resting in You're my Father. And You know, and Your mercy has a breaking point where it'll lighten up. Amen. And so I'm repenting and I'm agreeing with God. And I'm gonna do all I can to change my ways, regardless of how it turns out. I ain't fighting against You. I ain't fighting against Your word. I ain't fighting against Your man. I get everything I've got coming. Amen. And when you begin to bless the Lord from the woodshed, amen, can I tell you what you find? Amen. You'll find His mercy. Amen. It's as big as it's ever been. You'll find a God who's as faithful as He's ever been. You'll find a power to help you. In fact, I was going to deal with, amen, our response to the woodshed, our response to the chastening of the Lord. Amen. Listen, even as believers tonight, we're talking in the New Testament, Hebrews 12, verse 5 through 11, of the importance of chastisement, amen, being in our life because of what it produces. If we will respond right to correction and chastisement, God in mercy and faithfulness bring us through that, and we'll be better for it. So long as we justify ourselves, talk about how we don't deserve this and we don't deserve that, you'll stay out there in the woodshed Amen. And you'll get better and bitter, and you'll never find a betterment. Blessing the Lord from the woodshed. Say, preacher, how in the world do we bless Him when He's whipping us? That's what verses 1 through 18 is all about. And I ain't going to preach it tonight because you got to come back next week to hear the good stuff. I'm going to tell you, I've learned in my life. I'm done. I've learned in my Christian life. God don't play around with sin. He don't play around with it. When you get in it, how you respond to chastisement has everything to do with you getting right with God. I have got to the place I absolutely despise the doctrine that's being proclaimed and believed in our day. Well, God is so merciful, I can just take it so lightly. You do not find that in the Word of God. God's mercy doesn't overlook your sin. God's mercy confronts you, rebukes you, makes you feel bad, and gives you an opportunity to change your ways and get right. Mercy ain't for you to go on in it. Mercy ain't for you to look at everybody around you and say, you can't judge me. You can't judge me. Oh no. Mercy is for confronting you. Mercy is God confronting you, rebuking you, making you feel like the low down sorry dog you are, to make you repent so He can take you and say, my faithfulness ain't going to fail, and I will forgive you and restore you, and I will be good to you, and you will be better off when all of this is done. What a God we serve. I'm telling you tonight, He is a gracious God. So I'll give you some things next week. How's that sound?